inside out, and you're going down. I'm a trash talking talented, no class clown. I will abuse you until you lose. You can go on home and pout. You've been psyched out.
Silence, that's good. Especially now that with my phone, I don't have to do any like monkeying around with sending audio files and shit. I can just put MP3s on it, and it can turn into ringtones. So now I have all super high quality ringtones.
Yeah, you still should have gone for a smartphone. I say you still should have gone for the iPhone.
The opportunity came up to get a smartphone, but it just still wasn't worth the money. I mean, my folks were willing to shell out, I think, the $100 it would have cost for the phone itself. But the data plan, still not worth it for me.
Oh, I'm just saying, it's just the way things are going in the world.
I'm not saying it'll never happen. It's just at this moment, it is, it does not fit with me. It is all. Someday I will want one and need one, and that day will come.
Seen the preview for Ted?
Ted, what's Ted?
It's the first live action movie by Seth MacFarlane. And it looks fucking hysterical.
Oh, I've heard of it. I just haven't. There's a trailer for it already?
Oh, yeah.
Huh. I'll have to look that up after this.
Oh, it looks funny.
But okay, podcast. We are back with Alpha Counter, the podcast. I am Sean Ryan. And with me this week is Charles Lai. How has your week been, Charles?
My week has been pretty good. I've been so far, you know, diving through Silent Hill. All of them.
The HD collection?
Well, yeah, I got the HD collection and I got the new one, Downpour, and I'm just going to ignore that Vita one that's a top-down shooter that looks stupid.
Yeah.
And then move on with my life.
Well, I recently and unfortunately broke up with my girlfriend, which is kind of sad, but the consolation to that is that I have about 17% more money and time on my hands to budget. So I can now budget that out to having newer, grander adventures.
And ladies, if you're interested in dating Sean Ryan, go to alphacounter.com and look up Sean Ryan and his email.
Twitter me at thegreyghostnet.
Text I love you to blah, 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 blah.
So ever since the split, my friends have been very supportive. I've been very thankful. And two of my friends, Dana and David, they both do regular rock climbing. And this past weekend, they invited me to join them for a rock climbing session. I thought, you know what? I have no reason to say no. Fuck yeah, let's do this. So I went rock climbing.
There you go.
I learned some pretty important lessons while rock climbing. First of all, it's super fun. It's something I plan on regularly doing. I may not go every week, but I'm going to try to make it go as much as I can, because now that I'm single, I need to make myself as presentable as possible. So getting in shape, that's probably a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
And normally working out is kind of boring for me, because I feel like I want to do something productive as I'm working out. So like running on a treadmill, I get bored and I don't feel like I've accomplished anything. But rock climbing, that is a purpose-driven activity. Like, I am going to scale the top of this hill and then I'll be at the top.
And see, yeah, no, and it is good because, you know, I'm not a big exercise nut, but it's weird. I just am bored on the treadmill, but like I wouldn't mind like walking like 4 laps around a huge shopping mall instead.
Yeah.
Because then I feel like I'm actually going somewhere.
Right. You're sightseeing, and also there's a destination at the end that you're actually working toward. Because before that, that's kind of what I was doing. I was going on for walks. I live like down the street from a grocery store in the mall, so I would just do my walking there, get some, run some errands, and then walk back.
It does feel better, at least for me, and it sounds like it is the same way for you, that if you're accomplishing something, that's exercise worth doing, rather than just being on a machine that's stationary, surrounded by, usually by other people, you know?
Now this rock climbing wasn't so much, this wasn't like, I didn't go like and scale some precipice somewhere, I didn't go up to a summit, and like Captain Kirk, just like climb up the mountain because I'm in love. This was like, there's like a, in the triangle, there's a rock climbing club. And you ever go to one of those things like at a fair or in a mall or something where it has that big fake block that goes upward and you climb up with a bungee cord?
Oh, is that the thing that has like the thing, you know, the removable or the movable points of climbing that you can use, almost like American Gladiators back in the day?
Exactly. Same exact thing. Now picture one of those, only the room is made out of that. It's a big kind of open room where the walls are pretty much all that material going up in different angles and stuff. And then there's like a one that's like a donut shape in the middle that is about half the height. So you can actually climb up to the top.
I've seen a few places, and I think there's only a handful of these in the world, literally, mm-hmm. where those devices, they're almost on like some sort of movable like treadmill. And so that way you can keep going up for as long as you're able to. And I think you have a way of controlling when you want to add more to the wall to keep it going. And don't have that, then I must have just dreamt that in like a sci-fi movie or something.
I'm sure it exists, but I would be frightened if that were the setup. Like, I'd be frantically climbing up as fast as I can to keep up with like the belt on that thing.
Well, no, it's the idea that when you reach a certain point, you stop, and then you have control of adding more to the wall to keep it going, so you don't have to climb back down, find a new part of the wall that's different from where you were before, and then do it all over again.
That's one of the things they kind of do to keep things fresh. They've marked all of the stones with like a marker to mark an actual trail. Like, you can go up, and it's almost like a specific exercise of certain difficulties. Like, they have rankings for it and shit. And I think every couple months they rearrange and design new patterns on the wall for people to climb up.
Do you get like little bags or pockets of like climbing dust to keep your hands dry?
Actually, yeah, you can. I didn't really use them myself because I didn't really climb as much. I'm still very much a novice, but there was plenty of residual chalk and dust, etc., on the existing rock pieces that I was able to still get a firm grip. And I really felt it in my hands. I think if I kept it up, I'm going to have like some actual calluses on there.
Was there enough on there to make you know that to at least let you know there is a difference and make you go back and go, if I do this again, maybe I should look into those patches of chalk?
Oh, yeah. I don't know if I'll get into the chalk. It depends, because my friends didn't really use those either. One thing that I did to kind of get myself invested in it is I am shopping around for rock climbing shoes. It's kind of like bowling, where you can't just go in with your street shoes or sneakers or even any kind of like athletic shoes. You have to have specific shoes for the rock climbing. And this is probably the greatest challenge of the entire experience for me. Not the climbing up. That was no problem. It's these goddamn shoes, because I don't know who designed these fucking shoes. They're like ballerina shoes, where they are pretty snug near the toes, and they come up to a point. So it's like your toes are constantly having to be curled, and in order to fit into these goddamn things, you have to remove a digit somewhere.
I don't think my flat feet would enjoy that.
Yeah, I have wide feet myself, and they kind of have... The other confusing part is that the shoes go by the European measurements, so they have to have kind of like a comparison to like translate into that into American shoe sizes. And I went in and I said, yeah, I wear a size 13. So they gave me the equivalent of size 13 rock climbing shoes. These did not fit. These were excruciatingly painful. I was able to get them laced up, but I could not stand because it was pinching the ball of my foot so badly. So I asked them if I can move up to like a 13.5, thinking maybe that'd be like the equivalent of like the wide version of a 13. Those weren't any better. And they said,
I was going to say, with your newfound theme, it sounds like you definitely should get some shoes.
Yeah. What I found is that the largest that they had, and they had to actually dig to find one, was size 14. And after that, about 20 minutes in, I couldn't really do any more climbing. Again, because just they pinched my feet so hard. I actually looked. I don't know who decides how these conversions are, but whoever came up with the numbers for the conversion from European to U.S. is a goddamn liar. Because I went to a local recreational shop around the corner from where I am, and they also sell rock climbing shoes. And the largest size shoe that they apparently make is size 15, which is kind of weird in itself, because normally in shoes, the largest you can get is 13.5, 14 without actually having to have like specially made, specially tailored shoes for you. So that should be your first sign that maybe that the conversion is a little bit skewed. But I was trying them on, and thankfully they had one pair that was size 15. And I put it on, and it was still kind of uncomfortable, but I could make it work. And I talked with the people who worked there, and they tried looking around, and it's like, look, if I wanted to, I could go with a 15. But if they make a 16, I think that's the golden number. So they looked around, they said, we don't carry these in 16, and apparently 15 is like the cap. No rock climbing shoemaker will make them larger than 15.
Yeah, you big people are just too big for the mountain. You'll just fall off.
It's, well, you know what they say about people who wear big shoes. Oh, fuck, I fucked up that joke. Well, you know what they say about people with big feet. We wear big shoes. But thankfully, the shoes, if I get them, especially online, they're not nearly as expensive as I thought. I think I can find a decent size 15, even with like leather with Velcro, because both of those will give a lot of give. Like the leather will stretch as I break them in and wear them, and the Velcro will kind of give me some extra elbow room while I'm working into them, so I'm not having to worry about like lacing it up tight like a fucking corset around my feet.
Well, the one thing I have to kind of say is that, yeah, the economy sucks, but thankfully specialty items like these shoes you're looking for, they're actually kind of a good price at places if you hunt for it. You have to hunt for it, though.
Well, I was looking online, even expecting online prices to be somewhere between $150 and $200, because these are like specialty shoes for people who are hardcore about a niche hobby. But surprisingly, I could get, like I said, leather and Velcro shoes for rock climbing for like $70. And I thought, I'm willing to invest that amount into this.
That's about the price of a new video game. I'd go for it.
Yeah. The other important lesson that I learned, and most of what I my first experience with this was learning and observing from others, not so much doing actual climbing. The other important lesson that I learned is that when you are climbing and scaling something, the way to do it is to grip and steady yourself with your hands so that you don't fall, and then push yourself up with your feet, like you're climbing a ladder. Myself, I haven't quite learned that yet, so the whole time I was climbing, I was steadying myself with my feet to make sure that I didn't fall, and then hoisting myself upward with my arms like a pull-up.
Oh, no, I don't even rock climb, and I wouldn't even do it that way.
Yeah, that's something I'm going to have to unteach myself and unlearn, because I was able to do pretty good, better than I thought, considering be climbing wrong and also wearing painful fucking shoes. But the afternoon afterwards, because we went to a party afterwards, and I felt anywhere between normal to like Superman, like the adrenaline was going, the testosterone was going, I felt accomplished, my body felt like $1 million. Fast forward about 12 hours later, when I woke up Monday morning, having to get ready for work, I had all the ow. All of it.
Was there like a 2-minute period where you wake up and it's like, legs, wake up, and your legs are like, no.
Like, my legs were fine because, like I said, I did not work them out properly. So my alarm clock went off, my legs immediately kicked off my blanket and kind of swung myself over onto the floor from my bed. But when it came to lifting up my torso and reaching my arms over to hit my alarm clock, my arms were like, no. Not only no, but ow! It's like, well, time to start my work day. Oh, I was miserable the entire day going into work. And I work around a lot of heavy equipment that I tend to move around a lot. I thought, I really hope to God that I don't have to do any lifting today, because this is not going to happen.
Did you down some Advil, get some muscle relaxers or something? Because that usually helps a little bit.
I tried. I tossed back. I tried going for some painkillers and all that. But it's like just overall even if I could get over the pain of my arms, I was weak as a kitten. Like nothing was happening. In fact, I made the mistake. There's kind of a girl that I find kind of cute at work. And mm-hmm. She brought in this huge server chassis that was going to be shipped out somewhere, and it was a little bit crooked on the pallet that it was on. So normally, this is no problem. Like, I can shimmy around. Like, I'm like the fucking muscle around where I work. So I can normally shift it and, like, center it, no problem. But I bend over, I grip the server chassis, and, like, then nothing happens. It's like, my waist doesn't move, my body just says, no, we're going to put you on pause.
Oh, well, good job, now she thinks you're a fucking pussy.
I know, exactly, it's like total backfire. It's like, I sit there, nothing's happening, you're like, this was a mistake, and she's like, yeah, stupid, I told you it was heavy. I'm like, no, normally this would be no problem, it's just that I was rock climbing and now my arms don't work. And ironically, I was trying to impress her. Now I look like more of a chump.
Was it like that whole scene in Clerks with, you know, you grab a milk jug and it's like, ah, hear your strain in there when you're lifting it.
Yeah, exactly. I heard that grunt. No, in this case, it'd be more like if I tried to lift it the way physics would work, instead of me picking it up from the ground, it would be more like me grabbing it and then slamming my face into the server chassis like wham. That's how the mechanic would work.
Well, you'll have another chance, I'm sure, to make up for it when your arms are not dead weights.
Right. And the whole idea is that I go back regularly because they go, I think, 3 times a week, which if I could, I would totally go. But I don't know, because I have other things going on, I may or may not. So I'm going to start off with my first goal of once a week. They go on Sunday, so I'm going to see if I can join them. And then how, depending on how that goes, I may start going more often. But ultimately, the whole idea is to get in shape. And plus, Dana is a wizard and knows exactly what to say. And she told me these magic words. She said, you know, come in during the weekdays or often enough. All the time you get these girls who come in who wear tank tops and yoga pants climbing up these mountains. And I said, ooh, those are magic words, Dana. Because girls in yoga pants, especially with a tank top or a camisole, this is my kryptonite that'll help keep me focused and inspired.
There you go. You can. I'll give you a line from the new Uncharted game I'm playing on the Vita.
Yeah.
There's a scene where Nathan Drake's climbing, you know, doing his climbing, and the girl's above him, and he looks up and he goes, "Those are great pants. They fit you well."
Yeah.
There you go. Now you can use that line on the ladies.
That is a common thing. It's like, hey, let me just spot you. Make a, cause they have a whole balance counterbalance thing where you'll have the rope tied to your waist as you climb, and then you have your spotter or buddy with the other end of the rope tied to them, and they're kind of like holding you up, make sure you don't plummet to your doom. So it's like, yeah, let me just spot you for a second, and just like, no, keep going, you're doing fine. Take your time though, don't rush. I got my eye in, don't worry.
Now my question is that, are you actually hooked up to the bungee cord? Do you just get to jump off when you're done, or do you actually have to climb back down?
It's not really, for this place, it's not really a bungee cord. It is an actual like rope that you are strapped to, and it really depends on the communication you have with your spotter. I mean, you could, if you are like climbing your way up and you've like completely run out of gas, you can tell them, all right, I'm gonna let go, and you can kind of just like slowly, your buddy will like slowly lower you down, or you could say, all right, I got this, and then you can climb down yourself and they'll just still keep on for emergencies, or you can say, I'm gonna let go, and then grab the rope and, like you described, just rappel down with your feet.
Oh, there you go. Sounds like you have fun either way.
I almost beamed Dana in the head because I tried to rappel, but instead I kind of rocketed myself away from the wall and then spun around and almost sidekicked her in the face. I felt bad.
You're not getting to a good start there.
No, but I think once I get over the major hurdle of getting decent shoes, I am totally into this.
Well, no, it does sound fun. I will give you that. I would. It sounds a lot more entertaining than saying, yeah, I'm going to the gym and running on the treadmill and the you know, machines, and it just sound more exciting than that.
Or just staying home all day, feeling sorry for myself, watching you porn and some shit.
Yeah, it's like, why, God?
Why? I'm so alone.
I'm going to melt these pearls on my chest.
It's like you just down a whole tube of cookie dough. It's like, I'm an ugly fat ghoul. No, you got to get up off of that horse, or get back on that horse, or rather get back on that wall.
Oh, there you go. So I will give you credit for that. No, you're not just, you know, downing like 3 tubs of ice cream and, you know, watching porn, you know.
Right.
You're doing something about it. And, you know, that shows a lot of character. So once again, yes, ladies, if you want to get a hold of Sean Ryan, get a hold of him at alphacounter.com.
.com. A wink. Ting.
There you go.
But I did go on another adventure this weekend because one thing I've always kind of wanted to do, and I've often been invited to, is my friend David also, and my other friend Phil, who, if you listen to our Method to Madness backlog, we have an Omaki where we were interviewed by Phil Lee of WXDU. That's our friend Phil. So those two have been trying to get me to go to this arcade cabinet auction that's in Winston-Salem. And for the past couple of years, I've either been seeing Ashley or had something else to do, so I've had to turn that down. But finally, opportunity arose, and I finally said yes.
So were there any cabinets? So do they actually auction them there, or is it just like a presentation? Or
yeah, it's a giant warehouse. It takes place on the fairgrounds in Winston-Salem. And I don't know if you've been to like a fairgrounds recently. Like usually they'll have like those large buildings that are like a giant warehouse hangar type thing. And try to imagine about two or three really long rows just filled with really old arcade cabinets of assorted conditions, just lighting up and filling the air with these classic and nostalgic sounds. And it was really, really fun to go do.
Yeah, I saw the pictures that you sent me, and it looked like the inside of like an empty hangar bay or something. Like the I expect a plane to be in here, yeah, but instead there's just a bunch of arcade machines. And was maybe just the picture you took. Was there really like not that many people there?
There was a moderate amount. It probably looked like there was less people because I was trying to get a decent shot where people were not blocking all the machines that were there. So okay. I was trying to really capture all the things that were going on. But it's kind of amazing the auctions and the deals that they have there. And yeah, they'll have like one aisle where all of the machines are on, and they're either on free play or you can use quarters if you want, depending on how it's set up. They have this thing where you kind of have to bring your own extension cord because there's only so many outlets in the building. So if you want a machine that you want to try that's not plugged in, you have to bring your own extension cord to find another outlet to get that thing up and running, to even test to see that it'll power on.
Well, I have to ask because, you know, it's probably expected by M and Matt and other listeners who know, was Tron there?
Tron was not there. I looked up and down those aisles for Tron, especially to take a picture and tease you with. I did ask some of the people who were there. I asked Phil and David about Tron and mentioned it. And they said that Tron is commonly there, and it was actually kind of uncommon that at least one machine was not there this weekend.
Now, this is just not just because it's Tron, but the Tron cabinet itself is actually pretty cool because a lot of the buttons and the joystick, they're transparent, and they have lights in them, which is actually pretty cool looking in comparison to the rest of the cabinet.
For like 1983, yeah.
Yeah, especially, you know, probably even from early 90s as well. But no, if I were to send you to get there's anything for me, it'd probably be anything Gradius related, to be Gradius or Japanese cave shumps. Those are what I really want. That's what I would really want over Tron. I only ask because that's what's expected of me.
But
in reality, I want a cave or a Gradius shump.
The closest that I found along those lines was there was a Raiden machine that was there, but it was not functional. In fact, some of the machines that I was interested in were really sad. Like, they had an X-Men versus Street Fighter machine, but the screen was dying, the controls, like, it was, everything was just broken down or faded. I think only the player 2 dart button worked, but then the joystick was just kind of dangling out from the hole. Well, this thing was miserable. Oh my God. I should have taken a picture of that.
Well, you know what? Yeah, you should have taken a picture of that, but then Matt would have cried.
Oh no, they had a fully functional, actually a pretty good condition Tekken 3 machine there. The only flaw with that Tekken 3 machine is that the button layout was kind of wonky. It had the four buttons, but on the player 1 side, the buttons were on the left-hand side of the joystick and were kind of in a trapezoid shape. And then, like, on the second player, it was in the correct place. But again, they were in, like, this... It was like a rhombus. It wasn't even a perfect symmetrical trapezoid button configuration. It was like someone just started drilling random holes to put these four buttons.
Now, see if you ever come close to even winning partial of a Mega Millions lottery jackpot, I can assure you, if you got Matt that X-Men versus Street Fighter console that was in sort of, you know, shoddy condition, I can assure you, you give that Matt a month, he'll fix it for you, and he'll be like proud of it too.
I don't know. I think I would give it to him to like put it to sleep because this thing needed to go out of its misery. It was like the cabinet wasn't even really made for that machine. I don't even know why X-Men Street Fighter was in that thing.
Well, it sounds the same for the Tekken thing. I mean, I can think of a few arcade games that I've seen where the left side, the buttons were on the left of the joystick, and the right side, they were on the right.
Yeah.
And I'm almost wondering if just this was a cabinet for another game at one point, and at some point somebody said, oh, let's put Tekken in it.
One thing, I did not find Tron, but the one that I definitely thought of you immediately, and I did send you the picture, was that Smack an Alien, almost like a whack-a-mole game with aliens. I saw that, and I reminded, that's straight out of fucking Toy Story. I thought that's something that they made up for Toy Story to be like whack-a-mole, only alien-themed, but no, these are real. This thing actually fucking exists.
See, no, I didn't know it was real because I thought it was something for that, too, until you sent me the picture. My only question is, you know, was it the chicken or the egg that came first, though?
I'm willing to bet.
Did you ask?
From what I can tell, this thing was made in the early 80s, or at least sometime during the 80s. Especially, I would imagine, especially it was made kind of like to draw on the popularity of the Aliens movies because you had like the chest bursters and shit there, because that's essentially what it was. I'm willing to bet this thing was like 80s and someone, of course, like people at Pixar are big, like computer and video game nerds, someone had to know and thought this would be perfect to put it as a background prop for Toy Story and recreate it in that movie. But I saw it, I'm like, oh my god, that actually is real. It's great.
Did it work? Did you get to hit some aliens?
Yeah, it was kind of in service mode, and I didn't play it myself because I think like something was busted, but it was going through the demo mode of having like the lights and display going, and every now and then you had the aliens kind of pop up from this astronaut's chest. You have to whack them with the damn mallet.
There you go.
The deals, I think, are what surprised me the most, because like I said, you have these cabinets that are of various conditions. They had like a full Daytona USA cabinet, which included like the screen and the full cabinet, and even it was like the sit down ones. They had like the chair, and it wasn't like one of the upright ones. One of those sold for $60.
$60.
It wasn't necessarily working. I don't know if the screen was busted or something inside was not working. It was not turned on when I saw it. But if you wanted a Daytona USA cabinet of any kind and then like rebuild it yourself, $60 will score you like the base frame for this damn thing.
Now, were there price tags on the machine, or were they just when they were part of the auction? Because my question would be, what was the most expensive one you saw?
I didn't really stick around for much of the auction because it was almost like a traveling auction. You had the arcade machine set up in the aisles, and you had the carnival barker, like the auctioneer, on like a wheeled table, rolling from machine to machine, and each one had like a number of designations. So I got to see what some of them went for, but I didn't really get to see what most of them went for. The one that we thought that was kind of cool was it had an upright version of Crazy Taxi. And first of all, this thing was in gorgeous condition. It wasn't like a sit-down one with a chair or anything. It was one where you stood up and worked the foot pedals while you're standing. But the actual cabinet was pristine. The monitor was huge, and even though it was like 10, 12 years old, it was crystal clear and beautiful. That went for, I think the only thing that was wrong with it was that the reverse pedal, the brake pedal didn't work. But when my buddies were playing it, they just shifted into reverse really quick to use as the brake. But if that's all that's wrong with it, if you just fix the brake pedal, you got a decent machine. That, I heard, went for $550.
These are going for a lot cheaper than I thought they would, to be honest. Because I remember...
Yeah, because I'm thinking the monitor alone would go for like $500, but the whole cab.
Well, see, I remember back in the day, and this was, of course, after you left California, but the old arcade that you used to work at, when they shut it down,
yeah,
you know, they were trying to sell the machines that were in there, and plenty of those went for $2,000 or $3,000 a piece. And these were even for some of the low-end ones. So when I hear $550 now, and I'm like, God, the prices on these things have really come down.
I think that's still when arcades were theoretically still viable. I can easily imagine a lot of machines like that going for triple digits, because if they're working and in great condition, theoretically, you could make that money back. Like if you like were starting up a bar or a restaurant or a laundromat and wanted to buy one of these machines secondhand, you can make money back through quarters in your establishment while your patrons kind of kill time. But nowadays, arcade machines are kind of dying out, and except for like the touch screen bar games, you see, most arcade machines are kind of like, the only people who are in the market for those are like actual collectors.
Well, no, and that's true. And there was one place that's near over where I live. It's over near City of Industry. It literally just closed less than a year ago. It was like one of the last really big arcades. I believe it was called Arcade Infinity.
Huh.
And they had like a lot of the Japanese ROMs that I would be looking for. Like Matt went there once. He showed me pictures of Mushihime Sama and quite a few other shumps from Cave, as well as Gradius ones they had there too. That recently closed, and they sold the machines that I just wish I had that Mega Millions jackpot at the time. I would have shown up there and be like, bought it all, buy it, don't buy it. That's how I would have been in that store.
Well, a lot of these, you're kind of going in, almost what's more valuable is not so much the software that's installed on it, it's the actual physical cabinet. Because I was talking with David about the Crazy Taxi Cab, and I already thought that it was a really great deal for $550 for this thing, considering the condition that it was in. But it's actually an extra value, because with these upright deals, it was kind of a modified version of a standard Naomi-style arcade cabinet, because these all ran on like the Dreamcast-related Naomi boards. Mm-hmm. And apparently what you could do if you didn't want Crazy Taxi, all you'd have to do is remove the floorboard that had the pedals and then take off the steering wheel and replace it with the joystick and button pad, and you could pretty much have any kind of arcade machine you wanted in this thing.
Well, at least any Dreamcast-era arcade game.
Well, yeah.
But that's quite a good list, though.
I was going to say, there's still plenty of Naomi. It's like Marvel vs. Capcom 2 was Naomi. I think the first Capcom vs. SNK was also Naomi. But there's still plenty of others, like Crazy Taxi and
well,
Guilty Gear. That's right. The Guilty Gear games, those were all Naomi.
Well, see, there you go. So you had so right there, that would have been probably, I guess you could say, the bones for multiple arcade games. And a lot of arcade games are back in the day were like that. There were engines that they built, so that way you pretty much just changed the game, and the machine was universal for whatever that game series was.
That was kind of the beauty of the JAMA setup. Instead of having one board that's dedicated to the machine, the JAMA boards kind of like worked as an interchangeable cartridge. Because I think Neo Geo had like the MVS system that worked pretty much along the same lines. That way, people who the folks who are tired of buying whole new cabinets for their establishment, they can just buy the one cab, and they can just buy the new cartridges and the software and switch those out, kind of at a discount. There was kind of like some cheapness there in that. I saw a good couple dozen multicade cabinets, which were pretty much just someone had made a custom or a generic like MAME cabinet, which felt kind of cheap. There were ones that were like had 302 games, and they had like a clipboard with like the list of all the games that were installed on it.
Were there any of the four-player ones, like the Ninja Turtles, X-Men, Simpsons games?
Unfortunately, no, nothing that huge. I think one of the guys went in there with like keeping his fingers crossed that a TMNT game would be in there. But it's really a mixed bag. It's a roll of dice every time you go there. One thing that was like really prevalent there, it was about half arcade machines. And Phil kind of mentioned this was kind of unusual, but the other half was all pinball from like easily the past 50 years. Like something, there was like ones from like the 1940s in there. There was a couple of cool ones from like the 60s and 70s. Some of them weren't, and it was really weird because there was like one that was, I think it was called like 2001 or something like that. And this was like made in the early 60s. And it was a very simple type pinball machine, but it was fully functional after like 50 some years. And it was really fun to kind of like even go back in time, not so much for the nostalgic era that I'm from, but back even further to generations before.
Was there anything like ridiculous? Were there any ridiculous pinball machines? Like something like, let's say, Buck Rogers or some crap.
Oh yeah, there was a Flash Gordon one.
A Flash Gordon.
There was two of these where it was a Space Invaders pinball game that had an alien design on the main scoreboard that looked like the H.R. Geiger, like Aliens one with like a full monkey face going on. They had the Super Mario Brothers pinball machine that was there. I think that was from like the mid 90s. I think the newest one that I saw, no wait, there was two new ones that I saw. There was a Lord of the Rings one, and I think the absolute newest one that I saw was a pinball machine that was based on the Indiana Jones 4, the Kingdom of Crystal Skulls.
Jesus, they made a pinball machine game of that?
I know, it's bizarre. They even had, I think this was kind of like co-sponsored or at least run by an actual distributor of arcade machines. And they had actually like brand new arcade machines from like the past couple years there on display. There was like a Terminator Salvation one with a big HD screen that you pick up like a couple Uzis and you start shooting Terminators and shit.
Yeah, no, I've actually seen that arcade cabinet myself. So that there are a few new arcade games like Terminator Salvation, and then like House of the Dead 4 looked relatively new.
They also had like a Rambo one that was the same way.
Yeah, those are like the only new arcade games I've seen, or the ones that are shooter based, not counting, of course, any of the DDR machines from, like the early 2000s.
Those were interesting to look at, but I don't know. They don't make arcade games like they used to. I think a lot of these are like the things you would see like a David Buster's, where it'd be like you'd have your dinner, you might have a couple of drinks, and take your date and sit down like and play like Terminator Salvation or Rambo together. A lot of them involve sitting down, I noticed. Or special accessories.
Yeah, unfortunately, arcade machines are the thing of the past. I don't even know what's going to happen to Dave and Buster's once all the machines are just, too old to even be cared about, like even 5 years from now.
A couple of guys were asking me if there was anything out there that I wanted to pick up, and I might have come in with like a bit of cash just in case. We brought a truck, so getting it back wouldn't be a problem. Although getting it up my stairs to my apartment might have been an issue. But financially, right now, I really need to get a new couch because mine is just super ratty. So that kind of saved me from myself in that I really can't be spending a couple $100 right now, even if I wanted like a $60 Daytona USA.
Well, see, and, you know, thankfully I had needed a new couch, but then my mom ended up having to get some new furniture, so I ended up getting her couch. So my furniture is actually pretty new in that regard.
It was funny. I mentioned that briefly on Twitter, and Matt fired back at me. He's like, fuck you. If you find a Street Fighter Alpha 3 cab, you take that shit home. Yeah. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah. He'll be on a plane right away. Fucking play with you right there.
I'm really hesitant to get one of the Capcom fighting game arcade machines, though, because there is a certain level of upkeep that's required. I don't know if you know how the CPS2 board works. They have like a limited time encryption on them. They're like ticking time bombs. Have you heard of these?
No.
So apparently the CPS2 games, Capcom rigged a thing where there's like a security encryption to it, so that you have to kind of be licensed to have these games and play them. And you'll have an encryption hooked up to a battery. But once the battery dies, you can't simply just swap out the battery and then it works again. You have to swap out the battery. The encryption code is reset, like almost at random. And you have to contact Capcom to, I don't know if you pay a fee or something, get a new encryption code, enter that in, and then the game's playable again. So I don't know how much they're going to support that. And I know that there are websites that have like detailed like instructions of how to like solder in and kind of work around that issue, so you don't have to worry, or at least they kind of rig it so that you can hook it up to a secondary power source while you swap out the battery and then switch it back, so you don't have to worry about that encryption problem. But I thought, that's a lot of work. At that point, I would almost want to get one of those main cabinets just to alleviate the hassle.
Well, to be perfectly honest, I mean that is something Matt could do. I mean, you saw he built his own arcade sticks, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, he would probably get that thing in there in 2 seconds. He'd be like, done.
Here you go. Here you go, Matt. Have at it. Here's a soldering gun and a screwdriver. Let's do this.
If I ever get off my ass and order the parts for that Tron disc, so it looks like those cool lightsabers we got back in the day,
yeah.
Trust me, he can do that in 5 seconds, and that's something that me and you definitely couldn't do. So, if you ever get one of these arcade cabinets, you just get a nice U-Haul, drive out to California, say hi to us, and I'm sure he'll get it fixed in like the next couple hours. Just, you know, give him a cheeseburger, and he'll get it done.
I think really the deciding factor is me moving into a first-floor apartment, because even now, when I'm shopping around for couches, I need to find a place that does, like, I will pay an extra $60 to $100 to have someone else deliver and install my goddamn couch. Getting a bunch of buddies of mine to hoist up an arcade cabinet, which is bulky and hard to maneuver, and has a really heavy CRT monitor into it, that's going to be one hell of a feat.
Oh, when next time I ever have to move, me and the wife have already decided we're hiring movers, because the list of friends to ask to help move is getting smaller. You know, parents are getting older. You know, friends are getting, you know, out of touch.
Right, out of shape.
Out of shape. So, yeah, it's slowly getting to that point. It's like, I guess we got to hire movers, because, yeah, we're on the second floor. It was a bitch getting that new couch in there.
Plus, in terms of liability, I would feel worse if I invested so much money into something and then I fucked it up trying to get it into my apartment. If I hire someone else and they fuck it up, at least I don't feel as bad. Whether or not it's in the contract where they compensate for that, if that's in the cards, even if it's not, even if like they say, look, it's at your own risk, have our guys move things in, fine. I don't want to like damage my own shit, like resting that on my conscience that I fucked it up. I want to have like someone that I'll never see again and forever curse their name for ruining my shit.
I would hope that they have it done. I mean, I got quite a list of collectibles in my house, so
I will kind of wrap this up and say that I did go there to see someone to this auction, and I had the opportunity on multiple occasions to take home a sexy 31-year-old blonde hottie. Ooh. By the name of Ms. Pac-Man.
Ooh, you got Ms. Pac-Man.
For a couple $100, I think. I would have two things that if I saw it at the auction, hands down, I would buy. It would either be a Ms. Pac-Man machine, or an Astro City 2 Japanese cabinet. I don't know if you saw one, you would probably recognize it. It's one of those super white sit-down game center arcade cabs that have kind of like the bright green or the bright pink buttons on them. Mm-hmm. If I can get just like an empty one of those, I would get that for about $100 to $200 and then work on the insides myself. I would hook it up with like a brand new monitor and then try to get some kind of either turn that into a main cabinet or something. That's that. If I were to get an arcade cabinet, that's the kind I would want.
Well, you could even if with the right stuff. I mean, some people have even taken like a regular Dreamcast put that inside of one of those, and then you just play, you know, Marvel versus Capcom arcade style via the Dreamcast in that setup. But no, to go back to your Ms. Pac-Man, just be careful. If you ever do bring Ms. Pac-Man home, if you ever do bring that 31-year-old hottie to your house, just be careful. She'll chomp your balls.
Oh my God, I was just worried about carrying her over the threshold.
Yeah, there you go.
I gotta watch out for my power pellets.
There you go. See, you gotta be careful because she eats them up.
But I think with that, we're gonna take ourselves a quick break. I'm gonna grab myself something to drink with this whistle. When we come back, we're gonna be talking about some headlines and some general stories that have popped up that just piss us the fuck off.
Gripe night.
Gripe night on AlphaCounter.com.
This is a magnificent army. I have 7 guys. You only have 6 guys.
Well, to me, one of those is your newborn child.
He got a bomb strapped in. We named him Wanabi. He gonna grow up. Just throws him out there. Now we both only have 6 guys.
Why do you need to strap the bomb to the baby? Why couldn't you just throw the bomb?
He and my son, he live with honor.
It's like, this bomb is too light, it's not gonna go anywhere.
Bomb's not aerodynamic without baby strapped to it.
It's a baby bomb. That's like the hammer toss. You're serious. Yeah. It spins around in a circle.
We're not gonna give up a half acre of land.
Dave and Joel's Fast Karate for the Gentlemen, a podcast for people who don't like anime or podcasts. Find it online at daveandjoel.com.
They're scientists, right? I don't know why. And they put a horse in a volcano. And when it enters lava, it starts going, ow, ow. And they're like, whoa, 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 wait. This is like a new discovery.
Groundbreaking.
So they start putting more horses in the lava.
And asking them questions.
We have to see the lengths to which their understanding of human language goes.
Yeah.
Throw another one in the lava. And grab the questionnaire.
Oh, God.
What is your name? Ow, ow, Seabiscuit, ow. And we only get one question with each horse. We're going to be here all day. There are 30 questions on this thing.
I just had a terrible thought with Kyle and Orion. It's the only show on the internet. Find it online at IJustHadATerribleThought.com or streaming on KNO Radio.
Welcome back to Alpha Counter. It is Gripe Night here on the podcast. There's a slew of stories and other things that have popped up recently that have kind of gotten stuck in our craw and we have to voice our opinions about. And one of them actually is not so much a story, but Chuck here, with his fingers tightly on the pulse of the video game industry, actually came up with a really cool conspiracy theory that I am actually fully on board with.
It's more of like an addendum to our previous topics that we had, in which we were ranting about the Xbox not having used game capabilities.
Right, with the software, if you get a disc, it registers itself with that console, so you can't sell it or give it away to anyone else with that console.
Exactly.
At least not without paying a premium to get it reactivated.
Well, recently on Google News, it appears that a Sony website or a possible Sony insider, and it's called the Orbis. You know, the Orbis being the term circle. And then, of course, this is idea being that this name will go with the Vita, meaning circle of life,
right?
Because Vita is Latin for life. So Sony announced that they will not also have used games.
Yeah.
But lately there's been, after, but this was announced, I'd say, a few weeks ago. But since then, there's been this back and forth of leaks between the Xbox and the new PlayStation, both of which, when you read them side by side, they start to sound like the same console.
It's not like one of those things where they're just going Me Too. Like, one developer, like, one of them finds out what the other's doing, and they decide, well, our machine's going to have that also. These are actual features and functions of the device that the leaks are kind of coming out at the same time.
Well, it's like one leaks this and then the other one leaks that. And there doesn't seem to be any competition. Like, let's go back in time. Not even just, let's say, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Whenever, like, the Kinect was announced, Sony would bash and be like, well, that's stupid. We got this.
Yeah.
Or Microsoft would be like, well, buttons are stupid. We got waving your arms all crazy-like. There's none of that right now. Mm-hmm. There's no... Between at least Sony or Nintendo, or not, I'm sorry, Sony or Microsoft, there's no more of that badgering. As these systems are getting leaked or the specs are getting leaked, nobody's coming across and saying, well, our system's going to be better because we have this. There's none of that.
There's no, like, killer app to speak of. They're not saying our next console is going to have this feature, which makes it better and unique from these other ones. It's actually these things are getting leaked out. They're kind of symmetrical.
Exactly. Like, for example, it got leaked that the new Xbox will have a Blu-ray drive. Well, getting a Blu-ray drive isn't a big deal. Because
I would say it is a big deal, because that is a Sony thing. It's like, it's so weird if they were to get the media from their competitors. So even if you get an Xbox, you're still giving some money to Sony, their competitor. I think we were talking about this once before. I thought it would be, granted, it's cheaper than developing your own proprietary format, kind of like what the Dreamcast tried to do. But I kind of mentioned as a joke, it'd be kind of funny if Microsoft tried to adopt the HD DVD format just to get that storage capacity onto a disc, and hopefully it's a cheap license. But Blu-ray, I think that's kind of an impressive feat to get that into in a competing console.
Well, I mean, even the new Wii, the Wii U, has a Blu-ray drive. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't play Blu-ray movies, and I think that's how they either reduce the price of the licensing or eliminate it altogether.
Yeah, that's kind of a compromise.
But the thing that really surprises me, or the reason why I'm starting to believe that when we're talking about the next Xbox or the next PlayStation 3, the reason why I'm starting to think it's the same system, and I mean, granted, it's a long shot. I just don't think it's a long shot or as long of a shot as it was a month ago. Mm-hmm. Now, a year ago, let's go back in time, Microsoft bought Microsoft-Sony.com.
Right.
If you put into your web browser Microsoft-Sony.com, it will come up with a Bing search.
Yeah.
Even if you don't use Bing as your search tool, it will come up with a Bing search for Microsoft Sony.
Normally something like that is pretty common practice, because it's pretty common that companies will just scoop up domain names, even ones that might be related to their competitors, just so that their competitors or no one else can actually grab them up. Because let's say that some journalist wanted to create a blog that covered both Xbox and PlayStation news, excluding the Wii. So they could come up with the domain of, like, MicrosoftSony.com. It would make perfect sense if one of those companies bought up that domain so that they have at least some part of that trademark brand name in there, and some hack out there isn't kind of like creating this defamation or just a really crappy quality blog. But I think combining that with the patterns that we're seeing now, it kind of fits into that conspiracy they're putting together.
Well, and that's also, but, you know, to expand on what you were saying, well, and that was exactly some of the arguments at the time, was why just Microsoft-Sony? Why not Microsoft-Nintendo?
Yeah.
Or Sony-Nintendo? Or Microsoft-Sony-Nintendo? No, it was specifically just Microsoft and Sony. Now, that, of course, that was a year ago, but that was the first flag of something, of a possibility of something, but Sony or Microsoft and Sony just wrote off saying, they just registered it just to cover yourself. They gave the excuse you just gave.
Yeah.
But a lot of these leaks are very similar. The Blu-ray drive is being a big deal. The fact that now both these consoles don't use used games, I think, is another indication that if they're not working on the same system, they're at least working together to undermine GameStop and work on digital distribution, meaning their cooperation is not up front but behind the scenes.
Right.
So they're at least working together behind the scenes, I believe.
They found a common foe.
Exactly. But I do believe we're starting to talk about the same console. Another leak indicated that they both use AMD 7000 series graphics processors. Mm-hmm. So wait, they both use the exact same
hardware,
chipset?
Yeah.
they both use the same hardware. Exactly. It's like, well, at what point, why would I want to buy two different consoles unless it's all about first-party games, which a lot of these first-party games are, the amounts of these games are getting less and less and less. In fact, it used to be Sony, or at least, I'm sorry, Microsoft had a lot of first-party titles, and Sony had a few. Now Sony has more. They got Uncharted, Infamous, God of War. Right. They have a lot. You know, Microsoft now is pretty much down to Alan Wake and Halo.
Yeah.
Maybe Gears of War, but Gears of War is on PC as well. I'm talking just on the Xbox.
I think I saw some news site, I can't remember which one, it may have been a couple, that also came up with like a similar idea, and it would make sense for them to team up. Like, it would, first of all, it would be like dropping a huge stone into a lake and just like sploosh. It'd be huge news if like E3 2013, Sony and Microsoft walked out and said like, yeah, we're kind of teaming up to take out Nintendo, take out Apple with the and Android, and also while we're at it, take out
Steam
and the used game market. We're going to become, by coming together, we're going to be like a titan in the industry. And they were kind of, the site was kind of weighing the benefits of that, of probably like if everyone went with their strengths, it would be Sony would develop the better hardware, as well as having the superior software library, and also they have the better licenses. But at the same time, then you would have Xbox, Microsoft, who kind of excels when it comes to the online experience, whether it be the online play and networking, but also the storefront is also superior. So if you had those two people working with their strengths together on one godlike machine...
Well, no, it'd just be devastating. Nintendo would probably be out in Steam if they had any dreams of a... of their own console, which there were rumors of, you know, about a month ago,
yeah.
But then they just kind of fell off the earth after that, then that would just be completely it. But I'm just looking at all the similarities. I mean, no used games. If one of those consoles used games, that would be a selling point for them to have a rival to. Like Sony could say, hey, we play used games and Microsoft doesn't, come on our side. Or Microsoft could say the exact same thing. But now they're just too similar. Both of them announced they're not going to announce a new console at this E3 for 2012. They're going to do it at 2013. So wait, both of these systems are coming out at the same time? Both of these use Blu-ray drives? Both of these don't use used games? Both of these have the same graphic chipset? I really am starting to think we're talking about the same exact system, because they both, as you said, have strengths, not just with that, but the dream of both of these systems is motion controls to also take on Nintendo.
Right.
Well, think about how the Move works. It's a camera that looks at you with a controller that's pretty much on par with the Wii. The only thing that sucks about the Move system, because I have the Move, is the camera sucks.
Yeah.
Well, who has a superior camera system attached to
their system?
Yeah,
I was going to say, it's like the Kinect would easily be a great companion for that, to build on that technology.
And if you read any of the reviews for the Kinect games, they're saying that the Kinect is a great camera system, meaning the dancing games are spot on. But if you try to do any precise control movements, like with this Star Wars Kinect...
Oh, yeah.
No.
Fuck
no.
Off. Fuck off.
It's done.
Yeah.
So there are benefits to their hardware and their software lineup that if they came together, you know, for the interest of peace... that would just be over for any other competition.
For a mutual benefit. Like, they would both make money for each other hand over fist easily. It's like, why are we fighting? If we work together, we can make double the amount of money.
Yes, so there you go. So, listeners, mark this on your calendars as of this day
we
that
called
you've
it.
Heard this. That we're going to call it that the next game console for Sony and Microsoft is actually the same fucking thing.
Yeah.
Every time there's a leak for the other system that's very similar or exactly the same. It's becoming too coincidental.
I think it was like the CEO of Sony is saying, yeah, we're not working on a PlayStation 4 so much. We're still dedicated to our projection of having the PS3's lifespan being another 5 years, which I completely agree, because a lot of times, I mean, even now you'll see handling the previous generation, like there's still like some minor support for the PSP, especially when it comes to like its connectivity with PlayStation Network. So they still have something there. Same thing with the DS. There's still a little bit of DS support. So I would imagine that, they're being true in that there will not be another PlayStation generation anytime soon, because it's actually going to be the amalgamated machine that they and Microsoft are working on. But even when that teamed up machine comes out, they'll probably have about 2 or 3 years where they still support the PlayStation 3 and the huge infrastructure they have set up for that.
Not to mention the name Orbis. If it's a ring. Well, what is it? What is a ring? It's 360 degrees.
Is it a red ring?
hopefully that won't be
like, oh god.
Oh, man. Did you know Matt's PS3 died recently, and he has to go through hell with that? Let's just hope the system lasts at least a couple years before it burns out or goes out of warranty or dies on people like the last few consoles.
I think I sent him out that photo that you can easily find on Google image search of the guy with his Xbox 360 next to an NES. And like, there's a handwritten sign next to the Xbox 360 says, 6 months old, dead. Then a sign next to the NES, 25 years old, still works.
Yeah, Matt's girls are playing the old NES, and they have it in their room, and it still works.
Hells yeah!
So I mean, you know, that he was pissed when his system died, but there's a lot of things pissing people off nowadays.
Oh, I know, because I've been laughing at your posts on Twitter.
Well, there's a lot of stuff to be bitching about in the news. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
I mean, I rant with you and Matt about political stuff I hear about all the time, but because political stuff is like, you know, setting, you know, like a match to gasoline with some people. Some people take it really personally. I try to be very open-minded. If somebody's got a different opinion about something political that I have, I'm actually willing to hear them instead of just rubbing in their face that they're wrong. So what I like making fun of are pop culture items.
Yeah, it's like, you'll listen to it, you'll say, all right, I'll wait to serve judgment, but don't be surprised if I still think you're stupid.
Well, just remember what George Carlin once said. Just think about how intelligent the average person is and then realize half of everyone else is stupider than that.
Right. How's that for numbers?
Exactly. Well, so let's go with pop culture items that are just bugging us or just bizarre.
I was going to say, especially like celebrities. Celebrities just seem to fail upwards.
Oh, yes. Oh, see, now you just reminded me of one I forgot to mention. But let's start with the oldest one first. The Hunger Games. Did you see it?
I did not. Kevin did. And on the site soon, there was going to be an extensive review from Kevin on fucking Hunger Games.
Okay, well, let me just put it to you this way. This is my take on Hunger Games as somebody who hasn't read the book, who's over 30 years old, who doesn't read teen books.
Yeah.
Overhyped, but not bad.
Yeah.
I would actually...
That's generally what I've heard. Kevin kind of hated it, but everyone else has been pretty fair.
I actually would want to raise my kids on this over Twilight, because I think Twilight is just fucking stupid.
Yeah.
But, so I would rather their kids watch... Yes, internet. I'd rather watch my kid watch teenagers kill each other than drool over sparkly vampires. How about that?
I would rather raise my kid on Steven Seagal's entire catalog than fucking Twilight. Because those are far less damaging. At least there's some healthy values to be taught, as opposed to the completely unhealthy and damaging values that are expressed in the Twilight series.
But Hunger Games made some news recently, or at least not too long. Well, actually not recently. It's been a couple weeks. But the thing that really bugged me was the news stories about the people being racist about the movie. The people on Twitter that have now currently been shamed out of Twitter existence, by the way. Thank God for that.
Yeah, get them the fuck out of there.
They were upset over one character who's like this 12-year-old black girl, and they were upset that she was played by a black chick. They thought it was played by a white chick. Now, in the book, she's described as a girl with dark brown skin with dark brown eyes and hair.
Do the math.
How do you get a white person from that? Is it because it's dark brown? Did they not use the term Negro or black?
Were they expecting maybe Mexican or maybe Middle Eastern or maybe
Snooki after too much of a
or Snooki
tan spray?
I want to put Snooki in the Hunger Games. Make that happen.
Exactly. But
let's
my
do
point
this.
Is that? You know, we're not racist. How do you describe a black person to somebody without using black, Negro? And because this is the Hunger Games where there is no more America or Africa,
yeah.
We can't use the term African-American. So there's no more of those. We can't say they're District 12-ish, 11-ish.
Or like Nubian, which even that's a little like, okay, but a little not cool.
So how do you, without using racial terms, describe a black person? Sounds like dark brown skin, dark brown eyes and hair sound about right to me.
And really, is there any right answer? Like if they're not happy with what you interpreted that description and came up with a black person, what would have been the right answer? I mean, really, is there any group that would not have been pissed off by, it's like, wait, you had that vague description and you assumed it was one of us? How dare you?
Well, the other person that they describe from her district, because she's from District 11, is another dark brown person who's extraordinarily large. Well, what racial background has known for having really, really large people?
Polynesians.
That are dark brown?
Hawaiians or Samoans?
I'm just saying that, you know, typically when you think of somebody who might be over 6'5",
yeah.
It's not a white guy. You know, typically.
Okay, you got me on this one.
Especially when you use dark brown skin. He's got dark brown skin and is over 6'5".
Yeah.
basketball player.
Oh, yeah.
For most basketball players. So it's, but then, yeah, but these people.
See, like, that's why I'm not racist.
But see, but not only were these people upset that there was a black girl playing it, they actually wrote things on Twitter like, I felt less bad about Ro dying because she was black.
Yeah. See, this is one of these where I again wage my war against the hypervigilant. Most of the people who are complaining about this shit is privileged white people trying to express white guilt, telling black people they should feel hurt by things that they don't. It's like, you should feel offended by this. It's like, no, they're dumb, so I don't care. Or there's really, that's an acceptable answer for that. It's like, no. They're trying to exploit you and they're trying to push on their racist misconceptions. But it's like, no, really, it's not that big of a deal. You're just being a loud douchebag who's attention seeking, trying to make yourself look more politically active than you are.
Well, that was like when Cartoon Network, what you're talking about was when Cartoon Network got rid of Speedy Gonzalez because they were afraid Mexicans would be offended.
Oh, that too, yeah.
Meanwhile, every Mexican on the planet wrote a letter to Cartoon Network saying, no, we actually look up to him.
Frankly, I'm more offended by Pepe Le Pew, not because he's French, but because he's kind of a rapist.
Yeah, he's kind of way over horny.
Yeah.
But what was bothering you? You said you had an item that was bothering you.
Well, actually, this is kind of like a half rant, because this is a little bit of a victory for me. Because I found out recently, I read an article where a pedophile was caught and captured using a DSI. And this reminded me immediately of a couple years ago when the DS first came out and it had the Wi-Fi capability. The media tried to have this huge shitstorm of saying that kids are connecting with and speaking with pedophiles through the chat feature of the DS. Meanwhile, not really. They were kind of glossing over the fact that the Wi-Fi range of the DS was fairly limited. And if you were talking with someone who was a pedophile on the DS, chances are they're within eyesight. You can actually see them. So it's not like, yes, I'm little Billy, another 7-year-old boy. We should meet up and play Super Mario Kart. No, you're looking across the room and you see this burly mustachioed gentleman with like a 1,000-mile stare. You kind of know who you're dealing with. So to see the DS platform now vindicated, where, okay, before this was like the DS, Nintendo's little portable handheld bordello that you can put in your pocket, endangering your children every day, putting them in the clutches of pedophiles. Now it is a tool of heroism. I was going to say, because what happened with this recent story was a little girl had a DSI, and the DSI, as you know, has the camera built into it. So this guy had kind of like, I don't know, kidnapped her or at least gotten her alone and was doing inappropriate things with her and sexual things. Meanwhile, she's kind of playing it off like she's playing her DS while he's doing these things, while capturing the whole thing on video. So you have him close up, you see his face, you see him doing those things, and after the encounter, she quite courageously told her parents, showed her mom, like, look, here's what the guy did to me, immediately went to the cops, and that motherfucker is busted.
You know what would have been an extra rub-in if it was the 3DS? Because then not only is
it's like, no, I don't want that in 3D footage. No, that's wrong.
No, can you imagine that? It's like, not only did we capture you on video, we captured you in fucking 3D video.
Right. I want to see the media try to still demonize video games in this fashion, where it's like, before, you were just able to talk to pedophiles and meet them online and have your children be captured. I want the next step, them to try to like bury this heroic story, and then it's like, wait a minute. 3DS has cameras, you can do 3D video. The 3DS is now a tool for creating three-dimensional child pornography. Pedophiles are capturing their videos of their illicit crimes in three dimensions in the 21st century video technology and sharing them with their other skeezy friends. Like, no, media, don't do this.
Well, the media is full of retards anyway, but
I know,
you know, thankfully, the state of New York will no longer have to worry about sexual molesters being close to you on the DSI, because the state of New York just recently passed a law that bans that. I think they said like 3,800 registered sex offenders had their accounts pulled from either the Wii, Xbox, or PlayStation 3.
This seems to me like a good idea, because it's one of those things where it really is. It's if you're just doing like just voice communication, then the online networks really do turn into very little different from, say, meeting someone either on a IM or through Skype online. And depending on how you do your voice or how smooth of a talker you are, there is some actual danger of getting in contact with a stranger who is kind of skeezy.
Well, as far as something else that was bothering me, especially of endangering your children, Alicia Silverstone, did you even hear or see, well, you don't need to see it. I don't think it needs to be seen by anybody, but did you hear about the video?
Don't break my heart. I had such a crush on Alicia Silverstone in the 90s, especially.
Alicia Silverstone put a video of herself on Twitter feeding her baby like a bird.
Like, you're not saying she was like, she ground up a bird and fed it to the child. She was feeding her as a bird would to a chick.
She takes the food, puts it in her mouth, and chews it up for her baby, and then goes mouth to mouth transporting the food into her mouth like makeout style.
Who sold her on this idea? What whacked out, tree-hugging yogi fucking turned her on to this brilliant new way of taking care of your child?
I'm sorry, you must have missed this. You know Alicia Silverstone is a mega vegan, right?
I knew that, but how does that work into it?
This is
I know some decent vegans. I mean,
No, we're talking mega vegan. She went on fucking Oprah
fucking
saying
turbo
that her
vegan?
Poop, yeah, fucking like went on to Oprah saying, "Oh, my poop smells better than yours because I'm a vegan."
Never tell that to Oprah, because Oprah, she believes that her fucking poop smells of a potpourri.
Well, I'm just saying that this is the level of veganism she is, and she believes that she's doing the right thing for her baby, and I'm just kind of like,
Alicia Silverstone, you're not successful or rich enough to be this eccentric. Where are you getting this?
What's funny is that, you know, because arguably the most popular movie she was ever in was in the Clueless movie series.
Yeah.
So it's funny reading the articles about her feeding her kid this way that say the Clueless actress. Yeah. Pretty fucking clueless right there if you're doing that there, Alicia Silverstone.
I know. It's not in quotes like naming she is from Clueless. No, she is the Clueless actress. It is an actual adjective, a qualifier of her personality.
Or it's a double entendre because I think they meant the movies, but now they can use it so appropriately.
Oh, journalists and their puns and alliteration.
But yeah, she's like having on videos. She goes, yeah, my little baby bear. That's the name of the baby.
That's that's bear. Another thing. Fucking naming your children.
Yeah. She named her baby Bear. So yeah, Bear runs up to me whenever I have food in my mouth. He just runs up to me and wants to, you know, get the food out of my mouth. Yeah.
Who?
How many mothers out there are excited that their baby wants to make out with them and get the food out of their mouth?
So where did this actually, like, how do you sell someone on that kind of idea that this is the way nature intended? That is how you're actually supposed to raise your child and deliver them sustenance. I mean, I understand maybe or maybe not going with like breastfeeding or going with the natural childbirth of underwater and buoyancy, that kind of thing. There's a little bit of sense to that. But learning how to chew and process your own food, that is a fundamental like instinct that you really have to instill in your child. It's like learning how to walk. It's like, well, the next thing, it's like, what is the next entity? It's like, yeah, that's right. I choose the food for Bear and I chew it up and make sure that it's nice and ground and gets all the nice nutrients out. The next step is like, I also digest the food for my child first. So she's now feeding her child shit because her body is now filtered. This kind of behavior reminds me of those like cleanser motherfuckers that go for like the master cleansing that basically just flushes out your colon. She's going to combine those two methodologies and both masticate her food for her child, run it through her own digestive system, then run the master cleanse, and then just hook up like her colostomy bag up into a bottle and feed her child natural motherly diarrhea.
Well, see, well, and here's the thing that astounds me is that some people, some of the mega vegans are trying to defend this saying, well, you know, she's also giving her baby immunity just as she would pass it through her breast milk. I'm like, no. No. The diseases that the diseases that get filtered through the breast milk, it's kind of like, you know, a water filtration system. It turns the bad stuff good, so then that way your baby learns, you know, the baby's immune system becomes better because it's already pre-filtered.
Right.
This is direct germs before it gets anywhere else through saliva and stuff like that. I mean, what diseases are you exposing your children to? Not to mention, there's old school sayings from when we were kids about chewing apples to prevent going going to the dentist and things like that. If you're not allowing your children to learn how to chew on his own, what is the condition of the kid's mouth? Because there's muscles that have to develop for that, right?
Yeah.
Am I missing something here?
Yeah, it's a basic fundamental habit that you have to teach the child to, like, grow up as a natural human being. Because let's say that there is some method to that madness, in that you're trying to pass along the antibodies that your mouth produces to fight off all the bacteria and critters that infect your mouth. You could probably do the same thing by, I don't know, kissing your child. Maybe not on the lips. I mean, I'm not saying, like, you know, open mouth tongue kiss your child, but you're like on the cheek, a quick peck on the lips. It's the same kind of principle.
Well, what's nightmarish to me, and this just popped in my head.
And plus, considering all the things that babies stick in their mouth anyway, and all the things that have come in contact with that stuff, I mean, your baby is just getting like a daily mouthful of an assortment of nastiness.
Yeah, why promote it, right? But no, remember when we went to the Rainforest Cafe with my parents before you moved?
Oh, that's right, in the Ontario Mills.
Yes. Do you remember when the kid that must have been 6 years old walked around the table and decided to breastfeed right there? Actually went around the table and pulled out the boob and took it himself?
No, I'm glad I did not bear witness to that.
But I pointed it out.
I saw the
to
look
you.
On your face, and that's the only part that I remember of it.
No, I think I told you what was happening. I told you, like, don't look over there. Okay.
I'm not.
try to imagine that if Alicia Silverstone wins and this catches on, me and you could be in the Rainforest Cafe and the 6-year-old wants to walk around and go, nah, with your deep mouth mom for the food that's in her mouth.
Well, I don't know.
Can you imagine
I would have
witnessing
no,
this?
I would volunteer to watch Alicia Silverstone breastfeed personally. But in terms of the bird feeding, no. That is gross. Yeah, I'm going to vomit into my child's mouth and then watch it eat it.
I'm just talking about any casual woman who would allow a 6-year-old kid to walk around the table and get the tit herself, having the same mentality with the bird chewing fling. The kid walks around and just totally, like, deep mouth kisses mom to get food. Can you imagine if you bore witness to that inside a public restaurant?
Yeah, I am not. Yeah, I'm never eating here again. Check, please.
And on one final note, how many animals, before we move on, one final note, how many animals between birds and human beings don't do this?
I was going to go the route of how far away does dispatched from this is also like human centipede? Not that far.
Well, how far down the evolutionary table do you have to go before you reach bird? How many other species of animals do not do this?
Right.
I mean, fucking cavemen would probably find this offensive. That's why I now think Alicia Silverstone is trying to de-evolutionize humanity. This is so insane. It's actually de-evolving us as a species.
It's one of those paradoxical ways of thinking that I see a lot of similar people take up. Like the folks who try to justify polygamy and some also call it polyamory by saying, yeah, we're actually not monogamous creatures. We're meant to mate with as many people as possible. So wait a minute, let me get this straight. So you think that you're more sophisticated and more evolved because you're reverting back to a more primitive behavior? Try to work that math out for me. I don't see how that works. maybe what we need is a little bit, I mean, I'm not super conservative, but maybe that there's some logic to this. Maybe there's some parts of society that kind of help keep us in check. And if nothing else, they may seem still kind of archaic now, but they act as a springboard to where we're more evolved and more developed later down the line. Going backwards, probably not the direction we want to go.
No. So
speaking of people fucking, many, many people. I caught this news blurb that I found interesting. A porn company, Brazzers, which I'm willing to admit, I've seen their work, and I was rather entertained by it as well. They seem to get some pretty good models and entertainers, some of which I am a fan.
Yes, yes. I would agree with that, yes.
They want to start sponsoring fighting game tournaments. And they don't want to just like sponsor, they want to sponsor both individual players and also they want to host full on tournament events. And some of the fighting game community players, like people who run Evo, they're like, no, we're not getting on board with that. If anyone is sponsored by fucking Brazzers, we're not officially associating with that. But I thought, this is a brilliant idea. I mean, granted, you had the whole sexual harassment debacle in the fighting game community recently, but let's think about this. a lot of times when communities try to find sponsorship or even podcasts or whatever, they often stay a little too focused through one myopic lens. Let's say there's a fighting game tournament, they're looking for sponsors. A lot of times names are brought up like, let's get Capcom involved or Mad Catz or maybe get GameStop to sponsor us because those are all video game related. But if you think outside of the box, like take the actual gamers, the players, the type of geeks and the type of people who show up for these type of events, what else do they do that could be just as relevant? Because I always think it's genius when they have any kind of like online gaming tournament, Call of Duty, or even fighting games. One of the sponsors that are always there are like energy drinks like Monster or Red Bull. That's brilliant because that is a product that has a significant overlap with those two communities. That's why you need to have sponsors from things like Doritos and various other snacks and similar products. Or like, let's say like the next, like we host a fighting game tournament that's sponsored by the movie studio that's putting out the Avengers. There are plenty of people who are going to that tournament who will want to see the Avengers. So that community is overlapping. It's brilliant that we are now acknowledging, or at least someone has the balls, to say, look, a lot of you gamers, a lot of you are single, or at least kind of lonely hornballs, sexually immature, somewhat reliant on porn, we're here for you. So it makes perfect sense to have a porn company sponsoring a nerdy event, especially like the fighting game community.
I'm surprised the fucking company that did Dead or Alive didn't sign up for this.
Yes, this makes perfect sense!
Dead or Alive 5 is coming, people.
Have a Dead or Alive tournament sponsored by Hooters. I mean, you can have the Hooters girls at the event and also sell food there.
Yeah, I know, and they could be dressed up as the characters, and then
they
can
do the catering. It's brilliant.
They can wrestle in the mud, and everyone will watch.
Or if nothing else, you have the girls there tending to it, but at the same time, whenever like the players want to take a break, they're either hungry or want to get a drink, they go over to like the snack bar, which is all catered by Hooters, and Hooters makes their money that way. It makes perfect sense to me.
It probably is a little bit of a jump to go from a regular TV show or a movie to porn. You have to have a few things in between, like you said, with the Hooters, and then maybe we'll accept that.
I can understand if actual events don't want the sponsoring from adult industry, like porn sites, etc. Because, you know, you might lose some of, like, associating sponsors. Like, if Evo wanted to take Brazzers' money, Capcom may not want to be in that same in bed with Brazzers. So they may pull out their larger funding. But when it comes to individual players, I'm in favor of, if you are a player that is good and you need funding to go through your professional tournament career, you get funding where you can get it. You get those sponsors. I don't care. I mean, you may be selling out a little, but it makes sense to have that kind of presence to acknowledge that, yes, there are some overlap and there's money to be distributed that way.
Like I said, I mean, there's a plenty of games I can think of off the top of my head besides Dead or Alive that'd be a perfect, you know, tie-in for that. I don't know why they would reject it right out. I mean, I can kind of get it if they're trying to make it more family inclusive.
Yeah.
Because this is sort of the opposite of what we ranted about with the sexual harassment.
Yeah.
Because now you're almost just asking for types like that guy from the Cross Assault.
Right.
That's why
I thought it was a brilliant move, because they saw their target audience and went with it. I'm not entirely in favor of it, but I think that more tournament, or at least more communities, when seeking sponsorship, they should be more open to these venues of income.
Oh, I'm sure it will happen eventually. It's just got to be, both porn and gaming need to be a little more accepted and be a little more inclusive.
They come hand in hand in dick.
Wow, did you just go there with that?
I did.
As far as the other things I was griping about, it's a couple musical items. One, not so much. Just more of a analyzation of a situation that was kind of like a quip news item.
Yeah,
that,
a little blurb.
Like, everyone just kind of just passed over. Madonna's new album.
Is she still making albums?
She is. She made this album called MDNA.
Okay.
Have you heard any of it?
No. I really don't listen to pop music or the radio.
Well, I listen to, you know, music while I'm driving, and, you know, Melissa, my wife, was going through stations, and they had the premiere of her new song, which sounds like a 16-year-old wrote it.
Is it super auto-tuned?
It's super auto-tuned, and that's what's a shame is that, I mean, we're not talking about Britney Spears, who we know can't sing, so she's gonna auto-tune herself.
Yeah.
We're talking about Madonna, who definitely throughout the 90s had a fucking voice.
She is a seasoned pro.
it either went away or something, because all her songs sound auto-tuned. Fucking Rebecca Black sounds better than some of the shit that I heard off this recent single that came out.
Yeah, we kind of forgave Cher when she did that, what, 10-some years ago with the auto-tune, because there was maybe one or two songs, and that was a little bit of novelty to it. But to see these modern, or to see these old school artists having to sync to modern musical fads is kind of sad.
Well, it's especially sad because we know that Madonna at least had a voice.
Right.
I don't know if she does now, but she at least had one. But no, the thing that was kind of annoying was is that a techno group or an electronica group, if you want to call them that, Deadmau5. I don't know if you know who Deadmau5 is. They are
I've heard the name. I think one of the guys on Whiskey Thursday is a huge fan. I want to say it's Anthony, but I've heard that name a lot.
Well, for the people who mostly read their name is looks like it says Deadmau5 because it's, you know, dead, then MAU5.
Yeah.
So I actually had to look up and say, is this Deadmau5 or is this Deadmau5? No, it's Deadmau5, which is pretty much like Daft Punk, except they wear giant Mickey Mouse ears.
Yeah.
They criticized Madonna because in one of her songs she says something like, gotta find Molly. And Molly is a slang term for ecstasy.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
It's like, really now? Well, she... Yeah. Madonna seems to, like, lend herself to not only the tree-hugging hippie crowd, but also kind of like the club scene and raver crowd.
Well, she just sounds like she's trying to cater to 16-year-olds. But the thing that astounded me was they tried to attack her on the fact that she was promoting that by saying, using the term Molly. She's the Deadmau5 tried to say, hey, you're trying to get kids into ecstasy by using this term Molly, and you shouldn't do that. And Madonna was like, no. There's one of my songs that was written by somebody else who helped me write this song where Molly was a name of a person in the song.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's fine. You explain that. Could you possibly explain to me why your album is called then MDNA when Ecstasy is called MDMA?
Yeah.
It's kind of like he just dropped it after getting that satisfaction with Molly and didn't question anything else.
That's a mic dropping moment.
you did not question the album name at all.
Yeah.
At all. Just that part.
And she doesn't want to admit that she's too old to keep up with the new, young, hip terminology. She's like, yeah, I totally know what MDMA means.
Uh-huh. That just happens to sound like MDMA, but really, no, it's not. She didn't even say that. That wasn't even brought up.
Right.
That's why I'm just shocked that it was just done, over with, and like you said, peace out. Over.
Yeah.
Okay. But, I mean, the only reason that upsets me is because this comes from such... at least at one point in our lives that we remember, a musical professional who knew how to do her talent well.
Right.
I just feel like now that she's been outshined by Britney Spears as far as being a young, attractive blonde, and then got outshined in strangeness by Lady Gaga, she's just trying to be a 16-year-old strange motherfucker now.
Right. She's reached that point where her audience is getting smaller and smaller. She's getting more niche. It's kind of like, does anyone really go to see Prince anymore? Does he have any albums? I mean, he still does stuff. But
well, he's got new albums, but he doesn't have the recognition. But at least he doesn't fucking sell out with auto-tune.
I know.
To keep up with his stuff.
It's kind of like when watching Celebrity Apprentice, they always refer to Debbie Gibson as pop icon. I had to think that had to be in her contract. Seeing her personality like that, they had somewhere that was written that she had to be referred to as a pop icon, because really, Debbie Gibson had one, maybe two albums in the 80s that were hot. I think four popular songs total. And then come the late 80s, she kind of disappeared for 20 years, and we're only now starting to hear of her again.
Well, yeah, so she kind of has tried to come back as something else, so I'll give her credit for that, but at least she didn't fucking come back auto-tuning herself and writing songs that sound like 16-year-olds would sing.
Yeah, that's pandering. That is a desperate move to try to cultivate a new audience.
I mean, how old is fucking Madonna? Fucking like 50, in her late 50s
now?
Yeah,
mid-50s easily.
I'm shocked.
At best, mid-50s.
I'm actually shocked that she hasn't tried to hype up her daughter for money like most celebrities have.
Try to get her daughter in the studio?
Because her daughter's actually relatively attractive. She could probably pull off the same stuff she did.
Oh, that's right. She's a teenager by now, right? Oh, God. I feel so old now.
I'm just saying that...
She's now of legal age. I might want to fuck her now.
I'm just saying you have to try to imagine how egotistical Madonna is, that she isn't trying to live vicariously through her daughter. She's trying to still be her daughter.
Right, right.
Or what her daughter would be into, or if she were still that age. There's a difference between trying to live through your daughter, because that's just plain sad, and then trying to still be what your daughter is.
Oh, God, I just looked
at fucking overfit, almost at reaching 60.
I just Google image search Lourdes, and she's cute. I don't think she's of age yet, but I don't know if this is tattooed or what. She's got, like, some major unibrow action going on. She might have gotten that from her mom.
Hey, makeup can do wonders nowadays. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that she could probably pull it off. Now, as far as people who in music who have talent, let's move to the other side of the spectrum where I believe this is not talent.
Yeah.
Kanye West.
Yeah.
Named the fucking motherfucker lyrical genius, who's also a gay fish.
I was going to say, he was also a gay fish.
Yes. He has written a song to his love, Kim Kardashian.
That's so sweet. It's like he's serenading her from across the recorded industry.
Yes. He's named his new song Theraflu.
Did he write a jingle for them? How does that work?
Well, I'm guessing he just walked into his medicine cabinet and said, I'm a motherfucking lyrical genius. How about I can take any fucking stuff out of my medicine cabinet and write a song about it? What's this? Theraflu. Yeah.
Print it.
Cures colds. Cures colds.
Let's get in the booth.
I got a cold. Get you some Theraflu.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm such a motherfucking lyrical genius. So I'm serious. Is this how we do music now? We just go into our medicine cabinet, grab anything out of my shelf, fucking go out of my shelf and go, what do I have here? Clear Eyes. Clear Eyes. You got the red out of my life and helped me see when no one else could.
It does seem like a very... It's a visible, noticeable pattern that both baby names and song titles, even song lyrics, are being kind of just taken out of, like, random objects, like off of your medicine cabinet shelf or something in your kitchen cabinets or something.
And hey, anyone who's listening to this podcast should Twitter, I created the hashtag, write songs like Kanye.
Yeah.
Just take anything from your medicine cabinet. Like here, it's right next to me right now. Purell hand sanitizer. I'm sure we can come up with this on the fly. It helps you. It helps you, of course, you know, for hand washing to decrease bacteria on the skin. Oh, hold on. We can come up with the lyric on the fly right now.
I'm trying to look around my desk. Big pens. Big pen.
Okay. Big, you have something for song lyric for Big Pen?
Big Pen. What are the lyrics for, like, the Theraflu song?
Okay, well, let's look up the lyrics right now.
Yeah.
I know one of the lyrics is something like, I got a cold, so you need some Theraflu.
Is that the only something lyric? Like,
no, let me see here. Theraflu lyrics. There we go. This is going
to
be
Let's pull this up. I have to know, how relevant is that title?
Okay.
To the actual lyric.
Well, he pissed off PETA by saying, tell PETA my mink is dragging on the floor. I also read that.
Oh, now that I would take more issue with PETA for being assholes, for not realizing he's talking about his dick, not about skinning a live animal and dragging it, leaving a blood trail across the floor, you hippie assholes.
Oh, here we go. Here's the end of the song. Don't talk about my style, nigga. I'll motherfucking embarrass you. Talking about my clothes, I'll motherfucking embarrass you. Holler about some hoes, I'll motherfucking embarrass you. Way too cold, I'll promise you need some Theraflu.
So
get the
Does Theraflu come up more than once?
Yes, it's at the end. Get the Theraflu.
There has to be. There has to be some marketing machine at work where that is product placement. I don't believe that is an actual lyric that he came up with. I am willing to bet, and there is precedent for this, because I think Busta Rhymes or even Ludacris have done this before, where companies will pay them to drop their product in their songs. This has to be a case of that.
No, apparently Theraflu is pissed. They didn't know.
Really?
Yeah, there was news about that, too. That's like he pissed off PETA and Theraflu in one song.
Oh, my God.
I'm just kind of like, you just grab anything, it's like the
fucking
the
Kanye West.
My hands were dirty, but now they're clean.
Is Kanye West also like the songs from the closet guy?
No. Kanye West is the gay fish.
Okay, who's the closet guy?
Was it R. Kelly?
R. Kelly, yes! You are correct, R. Kelly. I keep mixing up those two guys up because they are both crazy motherfuckers.
I'm trying not to mix up R. Kelly because R. Kelly once had a video of him having sex with an underage kid, but no one seemed to care.
Oh, no, not just having sex with her. Peeing on her face.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Which isn't better,
but... cleared that up.
If only she had a DSI. But yeah, those two guys are both fucking nuts. They believe they can do no wrong, and unfortunately, their fans have yet to prove them wrong.
See, I feel bad, though, because I was trying to, like, figure out at work...
I can only make fun of them for so much, because whatever crazy shit they're doing, it's working.
See, I feel bad,
it's getting results.
No, I'm just saying, I was trying to talk to people at work thinking that that's just a stupid name for a song, Theraflu. But everyone, because they like Kanye West, thought it was a great idea. So now I've realized that point in my life where the stuff people like that is cool that I don't like or I think is stupid, I thought would happen in my mid-40s has now happened in my mid-30s. It's like that joke that George Carlin said when he talked about, am I the only one who's laughing when I hear a commercial for Snapper Longmore?
Yeah.
Snapper means pussy. Well, I'm apparently the only one laughing at Theraflu because it's a fucking item in your medicine cabinet.
It's also weird hearing songs that are clearly counterculture, Sex Pistols, during the background of a Nissan commercial or some other kind of advertisement. It's like, wow, you guys are used to be against commercialism and the man and pro-anarchy. And nothing is more sellout than that shit. Very, very few people stick to the guns like Jello Biafra of the Dead Kennedys. He got, offered, the entire band of the Dead Kennedys wanted him to get on board with having a song play for a jeans commercial, and he dug his heels in the ground saying, no, fuck you, I'm not selling out. I give respect to them, but when I see other, punk bands having their songs played for an advertisement, it breaks my heart. It truly does. And then you have these motherfuckers who are both sellouts in that they'll take product placement in their lyrics, but now they're just flat out boasting brand names, probably hoping to catch sponsorship afterwards.
Like I said, I've reached that age.
This brave new world we live in with such putzes in it.
I know. Everyone thinks it's funny everyone thinks it's cool besides me.
Yeah.
To name your song Theraflu.
Theraflu. But I think on that note, we're going to give our gripings a rest.
We're gonna go home and with our heads shamed that we're the only ones who think it's stupid.
It's okay. Tomorrow's another day. There's a bright future ahead of us.
It is.
As long as podcasts like ours exist and the people who listen, which I encourage everyone, if you do not donate to the show, please distribute. It is the greatest, greatest compliment to me to share it with others and spread the word. But if you have words of your own, guys can go to alphacounter.com and drop some comments in the show notes or email us directly at acpodcast@alphacounter.com. Or if you want to follow us on Twitter, you can follow me at The Gray Ghost on Twitter, and it's gray with an E.
And I'm under Twitter as Comtar, C-O-M-T-A-R, pretty much on almost everything like that.
Where we dispense nuggets of additional wisdom outside of this podcast and website as well.
Yeah, I'm getting plenty of retweets when I saw that the price of gas in Silent Hill was $1.24. I'm glad people think that's funny.
And while you're checking out the site, we do have other written content there. Chuck has had quite a few articles. Recently he did the Mass Effect review, which was quite good, as well as his quite extensive Best of 2011 video game reviews.
And I'm sure by the time you hear this, I'll have one or two reviews up for you again by then.
What's the next one that you have down the pipe? What can we look forward to?
I actually want to do a review of Silent Hill Downpour. I don't really think it's as bad as people say it is.
Well, there is something to look forward to. In the meantime, guys, thanks for listening.
All right.
Da-da-da-da-da-da. Hungry for more? Then head on over to alphacounter.com. More shows, more guests, more fun. Post a comment, send an email, and subscribe to alphacounter.com.